Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, January 16th. Colorado lawmakers headed back to the state capitol for the annual legislative session last week. Governor John Hickenlooper is term limited, and this is his final session. Benta Berkland talked to State House reporters about the governor's goals and some of the interesting bills so far as part of our weekly capitol conversation.
Joining us today, we have Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal and Brian Eason with the Denver Post. Ed, you've been here since the beginning of Hickenlooper's administration. The governor recently delivered his final State of the State address. Big picture, your thoughts?
Big picture, it was interesting. I think we all expected him to spend some time looking back on his career, but he spent a lot more looking forward and kind of leaving this roadmap to finish off the things that he hasn't gotten done yet. It was, in some ways, very aspirational, and it was very far-reaching as well. I mean, you look at him calling for transportation solutions, both from the general fund budget and from a likely tax ballot measure. You look at him really seeking to reach out to rural Colorado, not just with broadband, but with job training, with specific educational goals, and some really interesting talk about education. I think we've seen governors for decades stand up and say, oh, we need to fund schools more. Hickenlooper's up there saying we need to change the way schools think about producing the workforce, including that fantastic idea that schools that require foreign language as a requirement can use coding as that foreign language so more students can use that.
For the governor to accomplish any of these goals, he's going to need Republican support. We have a Republican majority in the Senate and a Democratic majority in the House. What do you think the reception was?
So I thought the reception was generally positive. There's obviously some partisan divisions over the transportation funding issue. A lot of the more aspirational things that Ed mentioned revolved around kind of one of the biggest things that was left undone in his 8 years, and that's been kind of the untangling of what he calls the fiscal thicket, right? And that's these conflicting constitutional amendments that we have that simultaneously force the state to spend more on schools, while we also have these other amendments that are limiting taxes and in some cases actually cutting property taxes. Things like that, I don't see the political will to get anything major done on those issues this year. They're going to require a constitutional change, and frankly, lawmakers aren't talking about those things in a serious way just yet.
Ed, what stands out to you so far among the early bills that have been introduced?
You look at all the really meaty bills out there, and almost none of them have bipartisan sponsorship. So I think that tells you a lot about the election year politics that are going on. We see the Republicans in the Senate coming out with bills to increase rural broadband funding, to increase transportation funding, to remake the Colorado Energy Office to be more friendly to traditional rather than just renewable energies. We see the Democrats in the House coming out with bills to set up a statewide family leave system, to revisit issues such as oil and gas regulations, even my favorite, most interesting bill to set up a fee on plastic grocery bags that would go to create a fund for affordable housing. So I think there's a wide chasm between what everybody wants to get done this year, and it's going to be hard to close that.
And lots of people running for higher office, running for positions in the other chamber.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an election year. You're seeing already a lot of statement bills from both sides that they know aren't going to pass. The House Democratic agenda is pretty similar to a lot of bills that they proposed last year that didn't go anywhere. And the governor's race really does complicate things as well. One of the biggest priorities this year is pension reform, and you have the state treasurer running on that platform on the Republican side. I think there's going to be a lot of consternation from the left on some of the solutions that are being proposed there.
Thanks. Brian Eason with the Denver Post, Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol, and you've been listening to Capitol Conversation.
More and more teenagers are finding volunteer opportunities online in order to serve their communities. Colorado has some 21,000 students who volunteer through the website dosomething.org. Eric Galatis has this story.
A growing number of young people are finding community service opportunities online. DoSomething.org is one portal that offers projects focusing on everything from hunger and violence to discrimination. Historically, the organization found its home in traditional school clubs that held in-person meetings, but spokesman Desmond Gilmore says it's finding better ways to reach the technology-focused generation.
What we realize is that this generation is involved and they have more access because of the amount of time they spend on the internet. And we saw this unique opportunity for us to take it from this closed group of young people who were in these clubs and schools to scale that to give access to even more young people.
Do Something has more than 21,000 members in Colorado. Projects range from baking cookies for firefighters to raising money for children in need in other countries. According to research from the University of Nevada, youth volunteering has increased steadily over the past 10 years, with 30% of youth participating in volunteer activities at least once a month since 2000. Internationally, DoSomething.org's membership has increased from just over 1 million when it sponsored high school clubs to more than 5 million young people. Gilmore says the organization works hard to make sure projects are accessible to all people.
We try to make it so that they don't require an adult, don't require any money, and they shouldn't require a car. So that way, any young person, no matter where you are or how much money or time you have, you can feel empowered to take an action in your community.
Gilmore says this year the group is launching a new Grab the Mic campaign. Each month, Do Something will highlight a pressing issue and show members how they can amplify their voices online, in communities, and at all levels of government. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And finally today, a couple of headlines from Montrose. If you've ever wanted to learn the basics of live trapping, or if you want to improve your chances of live trapping animals, there will be a workshop sponsored by the Colorado Parks and Wildlife tomorrow, January 17th, in Montrose. This is an introductory course for participants to learn the basics of successfully using cage traps. Small game and fur bearer populations are healthy in western Colorado, providing trappers a unique opportunity. The class will be held at the Colorado Parks and Wildlife office in Montrose, 2300 South Townsend Avenue, 6 to 8 p.m. tomorrow. To register, call the Montrose Parks and Wildlife office. And, according to the Montrose Daily Press, Montrose County Commissioners formally designated the Mayor Onion Valley Schoolhouse as a Montrose County Historic Landmark. The 1917 wooden structure was added to the local historic register. The Mayor structure is, like the community, named after Caleb Mayer, an early settler in the area who petitioned for a post office in 1884. The schoolhouse is significant as one of the few remaining one-room schoolhouses from the period. The 1917 building replaced the original 1880 log schoolhouse after it burned. Today, the schoolhouse is where county commissioners hold their mayor meetings. It is also the site of political gatherings, weddings, Christmas parties, and other happenings. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.